question this morning that goes out to all the parents here present, all the moms and all the dads of all the kids. Do you want to be a good parent? Do you want to be a good mother? Do you want to be a good father? Of course you do, you say to yourself in your mind. Just like I got blood in my veins, I want to be a good mother or a good father. But that's not the question that I have for you this morning. The question I have for you this morning is, how good do you want to be? How good? Do you think there would ever come a point in which you would say, I'm good enough? You'd look at your kids, you'd look at yourself and say, you know, I'm adequate. Basically good enough. A solid grade C. Think you'd ever say that to yourself? I sure hope not. For your children's well-being, and also for your safety at the hour of judgment in God's presence, I certainly hope that's not the case. Question for all spouses here present, all husbands, all wives here assembled. Do you want to be a good spouse? Of course you do, you say to yourself in the privacy of your thoughts. Just like I got marrow in my bones, I want to be a good spouse. That's not the question I have for you this morning. The question I have for you this morning is, how good do you want to be? How good? Do you think there will come a point in which you'd say, you know, I'm basically good enough. Solid grade C. I'm adequate to the task. And from now on, I think I'm going to devote my time and my energy to pursuing other hobbies. Would you ever say such words? I sure hope not. And you could ask yourself the same question with any relationship at all. How good a friend do you want to be? How good a brother? How good a sister? And you will always come up with the same answer. I can always be better, and I always want to be better. And you want to know why you'll always say that? It's because it's in the nature of love. It's in the nature of love to give all you can. Now, there's plenty of things in life, plenty of endeavors in which we can be adequate and be satisfied with that. You know, if you're a butcher, if you're a baker, if you're a candlestick maker, there comes a point in which you say, you know, it's just a job, pays the bills, but I'm not going to dedicate my life to this. And that's honest, good, and true. But love never says that. And this isn't just true about people we love. It's true about anything we love. I knew a priest once, loved golf, like crazy loved golf. And he used to spend his vacations at golf instruction camps so that he could get better at golf, right? Never get enough. I used to teach at O'Connell High School. One of my students was on the basketball team. Every free minute that kid had, he was shooting hoops. Because he loved the game. You know, if you love something, enough is never enough. There's no such thing as adequate. You wake up every morning and you say, I'm not as good as I should be, but today I'm going to be even better. And that is the only spirit in which you can be a disciple of Christ. I hope you already know that. There's never a point in which you say, you know, I'm good enough. You know, God understands. Hey, at least I'm here, right? No. It's in the nature of love always to give more, and that is the only way that you'll ever understand what Jesus just told us here in the Gospel of John. The only commandment he ever gave. Do you know that? Jesus only gave one commandment, only one. This is my commandment, he says. Love one another as I have loved you. Only one commandment. 2,000 canons in the code of canon law, 613 precepts in the Old Testament, 8 Beatitudes, 2 Testaments, one commandment. Do you think just maybe this is going to be the subject matter of our last judgment? Yes. And all the saints happen to agree. Now, it sounds really simple. Love one another as I've loved you. Until you stop to think about it. When you stop to think about it, you begin to realize just how high a bar Jesus has set for his disciples. I mean, if he'd said something like, you know, all my disciples need to climb Mount Everest, you could do that. Take some time, take some dedication, but you could do it. If Jesus had said, all my disciples need to read every last book in the public library, You know, dedicate enough time to it, maybe you can get the task done. But love one another as I've loved you. Do you know what Jesus said before he said those words? As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. And now, love one another as I've loved you. People think it's impossible. A lot of people think it's impossible to miss it out of hand. There was a Greek myth about a king. His name was Sisyphus. Maybe you've heard the myth before. He was a bad man, bad king, very arrogant, killed lots of innocent people. And as a punishment in the afterlife, the gods condemned him to roll a boulder up to the top of a hill. Every time he rolled that boulder up to the top of the hill, the boulder would roll back down to the bottom of the hill, and he would start all over again forever and ever and ever. Sisyphus was the king's name. And when you're given an impossible task, sometimes people say it's a Sisyphean task. Maybe you've heard that phrase before too. But does that describe Christianity? A lot of people think it does, and then they just dismiss it out of hand and don't even try. My message this morning to you is don't think that. I want to give you three steps in which you can live this commandment starting right now, okay? Here's the first step. Understand that keeping this commandment means taking the initiative in loving other people. You act first. It was St. Catherine of Siena, one of my favorite saints, who first said that. She had a vision of Christ who told her, I'll read this to you, what Jesus said to her. Here's what he said. I ask you to love me in the same way I love you, but you can't do it because I loved you first without being loved in return. I love you freely, but you love me out of duty. And this is why I've put you among other people, so that you can do for them what you would do for me. And so I ask you, love them without being loved first. Love them without being loved in return. Love them without any profit for yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to lend a helping hand. You offer that first. Don't wait for somebody else to apologize. You do that first. Don't wait for somebody else to offer a kind word. You do that first, and you are keeping this commandment. That's the first step. Here's the second. The second step is to understand that love means carrying the burdens of other people. It means paying the price for faults that aren't your fault. And you want to know why it means that? Because that's what Jesus did on the cross. This right up here in the middle of our church, the definition of what love is. And he took onto himself sins and crimes and faults that he didn't commit. Set a pattern for all of his disciples to follow. And so love means being good to your spouse, especially when they're pushing your buttons. Holding your tongue, especially when you have an unkind, cutting remark at somebody else's expense, of course. Being good to a coworker, even when they couldn't care less about you. You're not so much doing it for them as you're doing it because of the kind of person God has asked you to be. Love means not keeping a running tally of all the offenses that other people have done to you. Love means forgiving. Love means not asking, what have you done for me lately? Love means carrying, and we have to get this, why there's so little love in the world, because it hurts, it's hard. In all of history, no one has ever fallen in love. Want to know why? Because love isn't a pit that you can fall into. It's a sacrificial mountain, and you have to climb it. That's the second step in keeping this commandment. Here's the third. Third step is start wherever you are. Every last one of us right here in this church, your priest included, is a bucket full of faults. And you want to know something? When you breathe your last at the end of your life, you're still going to be a bucket full of faults you're still working on. Don't wait until some idealized future in which to start putting this into practice. Start now with all your glorious limitations. The only thing you can do is offer somebody a half a smile, then for goodness sakes, offer them a half a smile. If the only thing you can do is offer somebody half of a helping hand, then for goodness sakes, offer them half of a helping hand, and they won't understand. And maybe they'll judge you for it. And you know what? That's okay. Because the judgment of other people doesn't matter. What does matter? This judgment matters. You know, it reminds me of the story that Jesus told in the gospel of the poor widow who went into the temple. You all hopefully know the story. And all the richity-rich, fancy-fancy